Hey everybody, it's me, Jay. I'm here taking off my headphones, listening to a recording of myself. I don't need to hear myself talk while I'm talking to myself. It's fine. This is a bonus episode. And by bonus episode, I mean, as you can obviously tell, this is an unlocked episode for the regular feed. This is the kind of episode that I will be releasing in bonus episodes on the Patreon page weekly. Some of them are going to be things like this, which is going to be me talking about the 30 years, 30 movies meme that was on Letterboxd a little while ago, a year for every movie of your life, or a movie for every year of your life, rather. Oh, man. Sleepy. Sleep deprived. Does a bad thing to the brain. Sometimes it'll be stuff like this. Sometimes it'll be me reviewing stuff at length. Sometimes it'll be me talking about life in the fucking industry. And boy, oh boy, do I ever have some stuff I want to talk about, but I don't want to do it not behind a paywall where I have people who who employ me who can hear things. So here's what we're going to do. Instead, we are going to release this episode on the regular feed in addition to on Patreon. And we'll get bonus episodes on Patreon every week starting this week. You're getting a double bonus episode. Don't you worry. This episode's coming out Monday, and then we'll do bonus episodes later on in the week. So sometime in the Wednesday to Friday range. My schedule is nutty right now, so just keeping you posted on what's going on in the old Jay Light, Jay Life. But let's do this thing that I did want to talk about. For those of you who are on Letterboxd, you might be following me on Letterboxd, and you might be people who make lists on Letterboxd. And one of the things that was going around on Letterboxd a while back was, I guess a meme is not the best way to put it exactly, necessarily, but a general concept was this thing called basically you pick a year, for every year you've been alive, you pick a movie that is basically your top-rated movie of that year. And why? And you don't really have to go in depth. I didn't go in depth on that when I made my list, which is called 30 Years, 30 Movies on my Letterboxd page. But I kind of want to go into a little bit of depth, just a teeny tiny bit of depth, about why. Because I've got some picks on here that I'm looking at now. And I'm like, hey, this is kind of a strange little interesting little list here. And maybe I might make some changes to it live as we're reading it. Because I was going over stuff as I was getting ready to do this little recording here, and I noticed I already had one goof. I had one error on here that I felt, oh, you know what? I've seen a movie since making this list initially that I think is better than the one that I put down there. So here's what we're going to do, is let's go through year by year. So I was born in 1990, and the list starts there, as lists do that are based on your age. I was born in 1990. My movie there is a movie I did not see in 1990, and 1990 has a fair amount of movies that I still have never seen. A lot of classics, I guess, like Edward Scissorhands. Is Edward Scissorhands really a classic? That's one of the most popular movies on Letterboxd for some reason from 1990. There's also Misery is on there. Never seen it. Pretty Woman, never seen it. Total Recall, never seen it. The Godfather Part 2. No, The Godfather Part 3. Excuse me. Never seen it. Home Alone is on this list, and so is Wild at Heart, and I've seen both of those movies now. And I mean, Wild at Heart is really... I really fucking enjoyed Wild at Heart. I saw that a couple months ago at the Secret Movie Club drive-in. They were doing a David Lynch road movie. It was Valentine's. It was romance. And they did a Wild at Heart screening as one of their romance movies because it's sort of like a weird romance movie. I think that's a good way to put it. And God, Wild at Heart. I mean, my number one pick is the number one most popular movie of that year, according to Letterboxd, which is Goodfellas. Like, Goodfellas is currently that spot on my list. But damn, is it actually Wild at Heart? Because here's the thing, is I love Goodfellas. I think Goodfellas is a really, and I've got a little Italian mob bullshit going on in my brain right now anyway, because I'm watching The Sopranos for the first time. That's how deep you can tell I'm into The Sopranos, is that I'm pronouncing it correctly and not saying The Sopranos like some other fucking mooks, eh? Some fucking fanooks who say some shit wrong. No, I'm saying it correctly. The Sopranos, because that's the way his last name is pronounced. But anyway, I digress. The Goodfellas initially is being my pick is like, oh, that seems like it's kind of a no-brainer, I think. But then I look at Wild at Heart, and I remember that Wild at Heart came out in 1990, and there's a part of me that thinks maybe Wild at Heart is a better movie. I mean, I love Goodfellas. I think it's a really interesting movie. There's a bus going by me right now. Goodfellas is a fun movie, but I love fucking David Lynch, man. David Lynch is just... He's such a chaotic and interesting filmmaker, and I think he's, frankly, a more interesting filmmaker than Martin Scorsese is. I think Goodfellas is fine. Goodfellas has a lot of cool scenes, but I think The Irishman is doing something better than Goodfellas. I think Martin Scorsese has sort of evolved in his later years to become a better filmmaker and talking about and riffing on the same subjects he has, like he did with The Irishman and obviously going back with Goodfellas and even further back. Yeah, you know what? Executive choice right now. Wild at Heart is now being added to my list. You can hear, obviously, my clickety-clackities. Wild at Heart. The best movie of 1990, for my money. Still better than... still better than friggin'... What's-his-face? Home Alone. Home Alone? Come on now. Why would I think that Home Alone is better than either of those movies? Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Goodfellas, I gave 4 stars. Wild at Heart, I gave 4.5. I mean, it's unequivocal. I can't do anything about that. 1991. So some of the illustrious films of this year, according to Letterboxd, include Terminator 2, Judgment Day, which I have not seen. Thelma and Louise, which I have not seen. My Own Private Idaho, which I have not seen. Point Break. A lot of movies. I haven't seen a lot of movies from the 90s, just because I was not allowed to, especially a lot of the movies that are listed here. Beauty and the Beast I have seen. In retrospect, as I've watched Beauty and the Beast, I'm not as huge of a fan of it as I was when I was a kid, which I think makes a lot of sense. My number one movie of the 1991 bracket is The Silence of the Lambs. The Silence of the Lambs. Great movie. I watched that for the very first time for my episode that I did with Amy Silverberg a couple weeks ago. And goddamn, that movie's fucking brilliant. I mean, say what you want about... Yeah, it's clearly a product of its time, a product of its era. It has some stuff that looked at through a modern lens in regards to transgender folks and, you know, gender roles sort of in general, even beyond the transphobia that's there. It's a movie that you can't deny really blows a lot of other stuff from that year out of the water and really set the pace for a lot of thriller movies and crime dramas. And fucking Anthony Hopkins, man, such a performance. All right, Silence of the Lambs, you're staying there, 1991. Reservoir Dogs, 1992, the best movie of the year for me. One of my top 20 of all time, Reservoir Dogs. Such a great movie. I love Reservoir Dogs. Another one, there's a couple Quentin Tarantino movies in here, as you'll see later on. But god damn, it's the number one. And it's number one on Letterboxd, which, cool, good for me. I guess I'm a little bit basic in that regard, but whatever. There's a lot of movies in here that I have started to see by now. Aladdin, Home Alone 2, Batman Returns, which, oh god. Twin Peaks, Fire Walk with Me. Unforgiven is probably the best movie on this list that I haven't seen, and I should see at some point. But maybe another time, maybe another one of these days and times. The Muppet Christmas Carol also came out in 1992, and The Muppet Christmas Carol is absolutely outstanding. I love A Muppet Christmas Carol, but it's not better than Reservoir Dogs. Not much is better than Reservoir Dogs. It's Tarantino at basically his best. Lean, mean, cutting, violent, solid, amazing, great, great, great movie. Next, Groundhog Day. For 1993. Now, this movie is just outstanding. I love I love Groundhog Day, one of my all-time favorite comedies. I think it's really, like, it's almost unmatchable in terms of being a great, like, comedy that's also really good philosophical, I don't even want to say argument, but it just is a, it's hard to combine comedy and philosophy and have it actually make sense and not be insufferable, and Groundhog Day does that. So good job, Groundhog Day. You're beating out Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, which I haven't seen, The Nightmare Before Christmas. So many people have seen The Nightmare Before Christmas on this fucking website. A bunch of basics. It makes a lot of sense now that I think about it. Other movies that are on this list that are good, Freaked, underrated, underrated treasure, Last Action Hero, fine, Surf Ninjas, bad, Super Mario Brothers, bad, though I do want to watch the extended cut, the new, the Morton Jankel edition, which just came out. I'm going to have to watch that with my boy Danny Lemons, who we did an episode defending Super Mario Bros. So I'm going to check that out later. Number 1994. The obvious answer here, if you know your film history, is probably Pulp Fiction, which is my choice as of now. I'm looking at the other movies that are up this year. I mean, Pulp Fiction seems to make the most sense for me, especially looking at this list. I mean, Forrest Gump, it's fine. I still don't understand why Forrest Gump got as much of a got as much love as it has. I guess fucking everybody in the middle of the world loves it. Middle America loves it. Shawshank Redemption, it's a great cable movie. Great cable TNT afternoon movie. Lion King is fine. Leon, I don't get the hype for Leon. I mean, it's good. It's not like groundbreaking great. There's a couple movies on here that I haven't seen. Chungking Express, I hear, is very good. Same with Natural Born Killers. I haven't seen either of those. Ed Wood's on here. There's a lot of movies in 94 that I have to watch. Hoop Dreams. I guess The Hudsucker Proxy, too. Quiz Show. Whew. Always wanted to see Quiz Show. Never did. Got a chance. Got time. I've not right now, I don't, but I have time eventually. Let's see. 95. Right now, my number one pick there is 7, which I think actually might be changing now, because I'm looking at this list here. And 7's good. But you know what else came out in 1995 that I remember now and remember as being great, having just seen it, is Heat. You know, you something, something, something when the heat's around the corner. I don't remember. If I had a better memory for lines right now and lists, oh, you bet your fucking ass I would have it. But I don't. Heat. You're subsuming 7. And that's tough because my rating also includes Clueless, which I rate very highly, Billy Madison, Showgirls, Waterworld, Toy Story. I mean, there's some good movies this year. Casino, I haven't seen, but I should. 12 Monkeys, I've watched. Don't remember liking it. I don't think I did. Leaving Las Vegas, been on my watch list for a long time. Tommy Boy. How do I not have Tommy Boy marked as watched? I did like Tommy Boy. Tommy Boy's solid. I'll worry about that later. Four Rooms, another one I got to check out at some point. But for now, Heat. I watched that during quarantine this year. Not even during quarantine. I just watched it. And I have this, like, this movie night group that I do with some friends. And Heat was my buddy Parker's pick. And Heat is just an outstanding movie. And if you haven't seen Heat, go check it out. It's worth the 2.5 hours. 1996. My number one there. Oh, this is close. This is a close fucking call. Is it Fargo or is it Scream? Or is it Space Jam? Because I tell you what, it's not Bottle Rocket. It's not Escape from LA. It's neither of those movies. It's not Independence Day. I haven't seen that. It's not Happy Gilmore. Also haven't seen that. It's not Hard Eight or Crash. I haven't seen either of those. A lot of great movies in this chunk of junk that I haven't seen. Is it Scream or is it Fargo? I mean, my instinct says Fargo over Scream. And I have Scream on the list right now, but I think it's got to be Fargo. I just think, you know, Fargo, I've rewatched it recently. I rewatched it with my lovely girlfriend, Daisy Green, a little while ago. And Fargo just, like, it takes the fucking cake. It's so funny. It's so dark. What other Secrets and Lies? I've never seen that thing you do. Daisy Green Loves. Never seen it. 101 Dalmatians. That movie came out. I remember watching that. Glenn Close. Did she get nominated for an Oscar for that? Did she pull a Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean and get nominated for an Oscar? She should have. Oh, she should have. What are the Letterboxd highest rated? Alice in Chains MTV Unplugged has the highest average rating, which is mind-boggling to me. Other movies that people liked. Pretty Village, Pretty Flame, Secrets and Lies, Trainspotting. Never seen Trainspotting. Everybody loves Trainspotting. Never seen it. Never fucking seen Trainspotting. Don't get the hype. Don't get the hype around Danny Boyle, frankly. Seen a lot of Danny Boyle. Not a guy who understands all the hype around Daniel Boyle. I think that's mostly just because I don't like Slumdog Millionaire that much, in retrospect. Tis what it is. 1997. All right. 97. There's some good movies in 97. Boogie Nights is still going to stay as my number one, though. And I've seen a lot of movies in 97 that I liked, all right? I've seen Batman and Robin. I've seen Wag the Dog. I've seen Starship Troopers, okay? I've seen a lot of stuff that I enjoy. L.A. Confidential, never seen it. Other movies that are supposed to be very good, like Taste of Cherry, never seen. Good Will Hunting, have seen, not better than Boogie Nights. Boogie Nights is another one of those movies that's like just an excellent, excellent, excellent fucking movie. Hands on a Hard Body, the documentary, never seen. Lost Highway, never seen. I probably would love Lost Highway. Funny Games, the original Michael Haneke version, never seen. Adding to my watch list now. Look at all this stuff. Isn't it neat? Jackie Brown, never seen. Which is ironic because I love Quentin Tarantino. Would Jackie Brown get up on my list if I watched it? I don't know. Is that another movie that's basically just old Quentin T getting an excuse just to be a white guy saying the N-word a bunch? I don't know. But I do know 1998 is up next, so let's look at 1998. All right. Average rating, 1998. The movies that people love here are Cowboy Bebop, which I've never seen. Central Station, which I've never even heard of. Let's see. There's a lot of concert films on here. The number one movie that, like, everybody has seen and that I have not seen on here is Saving Private Ryan. Never seen it. I know. All right. If you've been listening to this podcast and you know I haven't seen you're just finding out that I haven't seen Saving Private Ryan, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I haven't seen Saving Private Ryan. I haven't. 98, I don't really like a lot of movies that were released in 1998, as it turns out, that I've seen at least. I've never seen some stuff that I think people probably do love, like obviously Saving Private Ryan, American History X. I have never seen Rush Hour. I've never seen Happiness. I like Run Lola Run, but it's not good enough to hit the top for me. Same with Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Yeah, it's got to be Big Lebowski. Big Lebowski, number one. So far we've got two, for those who are counting at home, two Tarantinos, one David Lynch, and two Coen brothers, and one Paul Thomas Anderson. So this is just good for you guys to know at home, I think. These are the directors that I give a shit about and love. All right, let's take a look at 1999. So far, my number one movie on 1999 is, according to this list, Toy Story 2. Now, the big question is Toy Story 2 better than Fight Club or 10 Things I Hate About You? This is fucking tricky. 10 Things I Hate About You, I watched for the first time this year, and I actually loved it. I thought it was brilliant. Some other good movies, Jawbreaker, The Matrix, Being John Malkovich. Holy shit. Magnolia. Well, actually, I don't like Magnolia that much. As far as being somebody who loves Paul Thomas Anderson, Magnolia, Galaxy Quest came out in 99. Oh, what a fucking amazing movie. What a great year for movies. Like, holy shit. Look at this. The Insider I've never seen, but I hear it's great. All About My Mother, never seen, heard it's great. The Sixth Sense. I actually like The Sixth Sense. Iron Giant. Love The Iron Giant. God. I mean, okay. Right now my list says Toy Story 2. And my instinct, I'm going to go, I got a Monday morning quarterback this one. We're going to the flick chart, people. We're checking out the chart. Do I have this movie listed? Do I have Toy Story 2 listed as better than Fight Club? Wow. Actually, okay. I do. But I also have Being John Malkovich listed ahead of both of them, which I think actually makes a lot of sense. So we're going to go with Being John Malkovich. I remember watching Being John Malkovich and being kind of blown away that this is a kind of movie that could exist and be made. God, I don't know. Am I putting a lot of shit on Being John Malkovich? Office Space, also great. Also came out in 1991. 54 on my flick chart. Man, you know what? I think maybe I do. Maybe I need to rewatch Being John Malkovich. Maybe I need to revisit Being John Malkovich. Because the thing that I want to put down here right now is 10 Things I Hate About You. I think I'm going to put down 10 Things I Hate About You. 10 Things I Hate About You gets 5 stars. 10 Things I Hate About You might be the best film of 1999. Holy shit. All right. Well, that's we're going with that for now. Is Office Space actually... might be Office Space. Here was what we're doing. We're going Office Space. Office Space... People, you forget about how great Office Space was. Office Space sticks with you. I forget about how great Office Space was. It's subversive. It's got some other philosophical shit in there. Office Space. That's where we're going. Let's do 2000, Best in Show. That's the current winner on my list as of now. Is Best in Show better than American Psycho? Yeah. It's better than Rejected? Yeah. Better than Requiem for a Dream? Almost Famous, Bring It On, Castaway. Yeah, it's better than all these fucking movies. I've never seen In the Mood for Love. I didn't like Snatch. I don't understand what the fucking fuss about Snatch is. I've never seen Yee Yee. I've never seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Never seen Dancer in the Dark. Have I seen Scary Movie? No, just Scary Movie 2, I think. High Fidelity, Meet the Parents. Never seen the original Charlie's Angels. Never seen Amores Perros. Amores Perros. That's the closest I think I've ever come to rolling my R's. All right, American Psycho loses to Best in Show. Best in Show, by the way, if you've never seen it, it's on Hulu. It's one of the out-and-out funniest comedies you will ever see in your whole entire goddamn life. 2001. This is an easy one. Mulholland Drive. There's a lot of great movies from 2001. I love a lot of movies from 2001. Royal Tenenbaums, check. Ocean's 11, check. Wet Hot American Summer, check-a-rooney. But Mulholland Drive absolutely takes the cake. Shrek. Shrek came out in 2001. Like Shrek. Same with Princess Diaries. Moulin Rouge. That came out in 2001. Not as good as Mulholland Drive. Spirited Away is the movie that everybody seems to think is the best movie of 2001. I've never seen Spirited Away to a point where I can remember it. I've watched it, but I think I was like too high to appreciate it, honestly. I think I saw it at a time in my life when I was really high all the time. 2002. The answer here is probably City of God. Ciudad de Deus. I mean, I'm looking at the other lists of stuff that I have ranked here. This is kind of silly that amazingly I have a bunch of other movies ranked above it. Punch Drunk Love, it's fine. The Ring. Oh, The Ring is actually really good. But you know what? It's City of God. City of God all fucking day. City of God is an amazing, amazing, like, indelible movie. I didn't even have to watch that movie again to remember how fucking good it is. I love City of God. City of God, a clear winner 2002. That one's getting a 5-star. That one's getting a fucking 5-star rating right now. I don't know why I haven't had it ranked. 2003. So the list right now says that Bad Santa is my favorite movie of 2003. And you know what? That's correct. I mean, you could say The Room is probably my favorite movie of 2003 if you really wanted to. But I don't want to give Tommy Wiseau that kind of credit, man. I like The Room. It's not better than Bad Santa. It's also certainly not better than Kill Bill. Kill Bill Volume 1, it's fine. It's funny. It's good. It's got a lot of stuff going for it. Memories of Murder, I've never seen. I hear it's great. School. There's a lot of good movies in 2003. Let's not deny that. Let's not besmirch that. Holes. Love Holes. Underrated. But it's got to be Bad Santa. Bad Santa. Subversive. Funny. Fucking love Billy Bob Thornton. Billy Bob Thornton is great in that movie. 2004. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That's my pick. Eternal Sunshine is one of my all-time top 20 movies of all time. I think Bad Santa's in my top 20 of all time also. Maybe top 25. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is a beautiful, almost flawless movie. It was one of the first movies that I ever watched, and I was like, yeah, this makes me feel like a guy who gets movies, man. A guy who really understands movies. And that's tough, because 2004, a lot of great movies in 2004. Napoleon Dynamite, Shaun of the Dead, Saw, Collateral, Primer. Ah, the list goes on and on and on. But I don't have time to talk about this. Eternal Sunshine, beautiful. I love Charlie Kaufman. He won the Oscar. Deservedly so. It's Jim Carrey not being up his own ass with his dramatic performances. Yeah, we're going to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. 2005. Brick. Brick, 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 brick. Is it still Brick? Well, actually, theoretically, it might not still be Brick. It might be, now that I've seen some other movies from 2005, it might be like Brokeback Mountain or Grizzly Man. Let's go to the fucking flick chart. My cat Linus has decided to weigh in. See where we're going. Do I have Brokeback Mountain ranked on here? Oh my god, maybe I don't. Okay, hold on. Brokeback Mountain might be the pick there, but I'm going to do a quick little ranking here on Flick Chart. Brokeback Mountain. Brokeback Mountain. Where is it on my list? Add to my Flick Chart. I can't believe I don't have this movie on my list. On my Flick Chart. Is it better than Gone Girl? Yes. Is it better than Paddington? Ooh. Paddington's very good, but Brokeback Mountain is better than Paddington. Is it better than Die Hard? Brokeback Mountain versus Die Hard. See, this is the downside with Flick Chart, is that I have to now rank this movie against other stuff. Okay. Here's the problem, is that Brokeback Mountain is a quite good movie, but it is a fucking tragedy fest. And I think Brokeback Mountain, as good of a story as it is, it doesn't quite resonate with me the way that Die Hard does. And maybe that's, I don't know. I don't know. God. This is tough. All right, Die Hard, better than Brokeback Mountain. But Brokeback Mountain, better than Saw, better than Iron Man, better than 28 Days Later, better than Boys State. Is it better than Inglourious Basterds? Yeah, it's better than Inglourious Basterds. Is it better than Raging Bull? God, another tragedy. Do I go with Bobby De Niro being horribly lost as the cat tries to attack me? Or do I go with the failure of love in Brokeback Mountain? I think I go, ooh, I gotta rewatch Raging Bull. So Brokeback Mountain gets it. Is it better than Marriage Story? Yeah, it's better than Marriage Story. All right. Brokeback Mountain is now 119 on my Flick Chart. Now Brick, I know for sure, is my favorite movie of that year. Brokeback Mountain is very good. Don't get me wrong. But Brick, inventive. I love Rian Johnson. What he has done for the world, outstanding. Brick is great. It's got artistry. It's got a good story. It's fun. Well, fun's not the right word. It's a good genre pastiche. A pastiche. All right, let's go through 2006. My number one of 2006 is Children of Men. That is a no-brainer. Children of Men, amazingly enough, I don't have it ranked on my Letterboxd, but it is number one for me for 2006, because I know this because it beats out movies like Snakes on a Plane, which is my number one on Letterboxd. The Departed, Little Miss Sunshine, Idiocracy, this film is not yet rated, the TV set. Yeah. Children of Men, better than all of these. Where is Children of Men? How come I don't have Children of Men on here? Children of Men, you're getting 5 stars right the fuck now. Let's go to 2007. 2007, a no-brainer. There Will Be Blood. I don't even have to answer anything else. That's not our number one movie of all time. I got a fucking tattoo because of how much I like that movie. That's of a milkshake, and it says, I drink your milkshake. And my mom hates it, but it doesn't matter because I love it. 2008. This little stretch right here, I don't even have to answer questions about it. It's bang, 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 movies out of my top five. Dear Zachary, A Letter to a Son About His Father, the best movie of 2008 for my money. Fantastic Mr. Fox, number two on my all-time list, and the best movie of 2009 for my money. Best movie of 2010. Currently have Inception on this list. Feels like maybe I have a better movie up my sleeve than Inception. So let's find out. Let's take a look. Oh, haha. Probably The Social Network. Now that I think about it, it is almost certainly The Social Network that is better than fucking Inception. Inception's really cool, don't get me wrong, but I've thought back and I've reflected, and I don't know if Inception is quite as good as The Social Network is. The Social Network, I think, does a better job of being a movie than Inception does. Inception's really cool, don't get me wrong. But Inception is not the best Christopher Nolan movie. I think The Social Network is the best Aaron Sorkin movie. And possibly one of the best David Fincher movies. Probably the best David Fincher movie. Yeah, Social Network, you're going in there. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. All right, 2011, excuse me. Another no-brainer, as far as I'm concerned. It's We Need to Talk About Kevin. There's some other movies on here that I like a lot, like The Tree of Life and The Cabin in the Woods and Drive. And I think Drive is probably a movie that I, if I'm looking at it, I like it a little bit more based on my list. But it's close, man. It's really fucking close. And We Need to Talk About Kevin. God, We Need to Talk About Kevin versus Drive. It's just tough. We Need to Talk About Kevin is really like... I could go back and forth on We Need to Talk About Kevin versus Drive. Drive's fun. I've watched it again for this show. We Need to Talk About Kevin is like haunting and harrowing, and it will stick with me forever. Drive's cool and slick. I could go back and forth on those movies all day, but today it's We Need to Talk About Kevin. 2012, Spring Breakers, easy, no-brainer, number five of my top all-time favorite movies. 2013, right now I have The Kings of Summer listed on there, but I have seen some movies since then, and it is no longer at the top of my list. I do still love The Kings of Summer, but it has now been subsumed by a movie that I saw during quarantine that really resonated with me, and that movie is called Her. So Spike Jonze, guess what? You do wind up on this list after all, pal. Congratulations, buddy, with your little sad tale of a man masturbating to his Siri or his Alexa, played by Scarlett Johansson. No, I wasn't talking to you. My Alexa just turned on when I mentioned her name. She thinks I'm going to jerk off to her later, which is not the case, Alexa. Not ever fucking again. All right, 2014. So the film I have there right now is my best of 2014 is Nightcrawler. And there are some other movies that might show up as a little bit better, according to my work here on Flickchart and Letterboxd. But my instinct still says it's Nightcrawler. And oh god, this is another toss up. I'm looking at my top movies right here on Flickchart, and the movie that I have a little bit ahead of it is The Babadook. Ooh, The Babadook or The Nightcrawler? I mean, if I have to go between those two, they're very different movies, but they have some similar elements in that they're both about people whose, like, mental state is totally unraveling. I think I'm going to go with, I mean, today, I think I'm going with Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler is one of those movies that, like, I tell a certain subset of people to see The Babadook because I love horror movies, and I know not everybody's going to see a horror movie. But Nightcrawler is a movie that I unequivocally recommend to everyone. And it's available on Netflix. And if you haven't seen Nightcrawler, you got to see it. That's why Nightcrawler right now is going to make it as my movie number one from 2014. 2015, my easy answer says it's The Big Short. That's what the easy money says. But I actually completely forgot that Mad Max Fury Road came out in 2015. And Mad Max has recently passed The Big Short on my list of the all-time best ones. I love you, Big Short. I love you, Adam McKay. I love the entire thing that you did with that movie. But having seen Mad Max Fury Road once again, it's got to be Mad Max Fury Road. That movie is another one of those near-perfect movies. It's number eight on my list. Near-perfect movies. A lot of great movies in 2015. Big Short, Sicario, Room, Inside Out, The Vvitch, The Lobster, Green Room, Bone Tomahawk, Stanford Prison Experiment, Embarrassment of Riches, Hunting Ground, Tangerine, fun. Spy? Oh, I saw Spy with on a date with a girl who broke up with me after we saw Spy. I should have known because we were out and I tried to hold her hand in the movies, and we'd been seeing each other for a few months, and she removed her hand from mine as I tried to hold it, and I should have taken that immediately as a sign. And guess what? I did. And I think that's part of, I still like the movie. I like the movie better than I like her now. Them's the breaks, Alex. That's how fucking life goes sometimes. All right, let's check in on 2016. My number one pick there right now, according to this list, is Swiss Army Man. Does that hold up? Probably it does. My guess is I would be shocked if it didn't. So Flick Chart. My letterbox is trying to say I think Arrival is better than Swiss Army Man, and I don't think that's the case. I think Swiss Army Man is like a transcendent movie that Arrival is very good for what it is, but it just can't pass up. And I'm right, according to my flick chart. Swiss Army Man, my number one of 2016. I'm so glad that I stayed correct on that. That's another movie. If you haven't seen Swiss Army Man, it's a movie that like everybody should see. And it's absurd and silly and also poignant. And I think it ties back into the way I feel about Groundhog Day, where it has some like nice philosophical shit to say. But it's also really funny. I mean, a lot of the movie is fart jokes. You got a farting corpse in there is one of the lead characters in the movie. Hard to beat. All right. Let's take a look at 2017. My list there, and I know this is going to stick, is Dunkirk. Dunkirk is my number one movie of 2017. And I know a lot of people might say, Jade, what about Get Out or Paddington 2 or Call Me By Your Name? All those movies are great too, right? Yeah, you're right. But you know what? Dunkirk is probably the only war movie that I actually have seen and appreciate. Because Christopher Nolan also defies Christopher Nolan and the expectations and delivers the greatest Christopher Nolan movie that there could be by not making a Christopher Nolan movie. So Dunkirk, you did it. Good job. Congrats, Chrissy. I'm so proud of you. 2018 goes to Hereditary. That is a no-brainer. Hereditary, an amazing movie. A movie that I would recommend to people who don't like horror movies because it's so well acted. It's so well acted. It's so well scripted. And there's other movies up in that year that I love, like Eighth Grade and Roma and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Even Suspiria, which I would not recommend to a lot of people because it's a very specific kind of movie. Once you get a bunch of blood explosions, you get a certain kind of people who are not going to want to watch that movie. Suspiria, it's got that. But Hereditary, transcendent. 2019, another no-brainer. It's Uncut Gems, baby. Uncut Gems, the best movie of 2019 and the best movie of 2020. Well, according to the internet, they were saying, oh, that's because this movie technically didn't come out in 2019. It came out in 2020. I mean, it came out in 2019, but it was released in 2020 theatrically. And that movie is The Sound of Metal, which is in my top 20 of all time. Sound of Metal, my pick for Best Picture last year at the Oscars, or I guess a couple months ago at the Oscars. Should have won. Instead, they gave it to Nomadland, which totally understand. Nomadland, a fine film. You did great, Chloe Zhao. great work. But Sound of Metal, Tran-fucking-cendent. Those are two chef's kisses. That's my highest rating. It's more than two thumbs up. It's two chef's kisses, all right? Roger Ebert can't do that. His jaw won't allow it. He can't do a chef's kiss. It's too robotic sounding. We don't want that, all right? That's why I go with the J-Lite rating system. Five stars, two chef's kisses for a Sound of Metal. Well, that was a journey. That was a bigger journey than I expected it to be. But those are my 30 years, 30 movies. And I can't wait to see what movie I add on this year. Have I seen many movies from this year? Not really. I think the number one movie I've seen from this year is Bo Burnham's Inside. Judas and the Black Messiah, I saw. Judas and the Black Messiah is currently my number one. I guess Oscar season, I'm going to have to change the way I look at it. Bad Trip, I liked. And a lot of other movies on here are pretty fucking bad. So I'm not going to worry about it. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. For now, Bo Burnham's Inside of Judas and the Black Messiah, my number ones for this year. But hey, we got a lot of year to cover, and we'll check back in a little later on. But this has been Blockbusting. And go see any of those movies that I just told you to go see for a change, huh?